Good morning. Thank you, Josh. Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you might be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give you directions when I come.
Thank you very much, Pastor Nate and Pastor Rob, in leading us. They are handing out to you on this Communion Sunday some information. We'll refer to that a little later in the service, so take the documents, the resources that they're handing you, and hold them in place, and we'll refer to them here in just a little bit. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and it is the pattern of our church family to have Communion Sunday on the first Sunday of each month. Now, you'll notice, of course, we're having communion in our morning worship service this month. Next month, the communion service will be in an evening service on the first Sunday of the month. And the following month, it'll also be in an evening service. The leadership of our church has determined that we have communion both in the morning and the evening services in alternate fashion. Morning service once a quarter, evening services the others. You'll notice that the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't say do it weekly. It doesn't say do it monthly. It doesn't say do it quarterly. It doesn't say do it yearly. It just says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. This mandate for the church is a command. And the leadership of our church has determined that a good pattern for us would be to do the Lord's table together monthly. We could just as well do it weekly, or we could just as well do it every other month. We could have a variety of choices there in carrying out this mandate that we've been given. But the leadership of our church has determined over these years that a good pattern, not too often, but not too infrequent, would be to do so monthly. And we do it in alternating fashion, morning to evening. And so doing, try to stay in rhythm of always regularly coming to the Lord's table. And consequently, we are trying to be obedient to this command, this mandate that we have right here in the Bible in front of us. Do this in remembrance of me. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. And consequently, we come today for communion Sunday before the Lord at His table. It's not my table. It's not our table. It's not this church's table merely. It is the Lord's table and all that it means. And we intend today to rehearse and remember what it means and how it applies to our Christian life. We're told to do this so that we will not forget who Christ is and what He's done. Do this, it says in this text, in remembrance of me. Do this so you won't forget. It's so important that we want it to do it so regularly that we couldn't possibly forget who Jesus is and what He has done for us and the difference that that makes in our lives. Well, what do we mean by it? Churches and denominations of all kinds mean different things when they come to this same ceremony. And so we want to explain what we mean by it, taken really right from the heart of Scripture. What we mean by the bread and the blood is that we are being reminded of the sinless life and sacrificial death of Jesus, our Savior. So when we take this plate and we pass it one person to the next, there are wafers of bread here, very small, really symbolic remembrances of what bread is, but unique in this service because this is not, I guess, what you would call regular bread. This is unleavened bread. And why is it unleavened? Well, of course, this harkens back to Jesus with His disciples on the Passover meal that they were sharing in this text of Scripture that you're looking at. And this was transformed into having new meaning in Jesus. And so the unleavened bread is a symbol of the sinless life of Jesus. So when this bread is passed, person to person to person, we encourage you to participate by taking the bread if you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. Here's what we mean by that. We mean by taking the bread, you're saying, I believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, that's quite impossible. Jesus couldn't be born of a virgin because it's not possible for virgins to give birth. Well, of course it's not biologically possible for that. But we're saying that we believe in the impossible supernatural truth that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and was born, consequently, without a sin nature. You're born with a sin nature. You, personally, me, we're all born with a sin nature. But Jesus was not born with a sin nature because He was born of the Virgin Mary, consequently, from a father figure. There was no biological father for Jesus. And consequently, the sin nature was not passed to Jesus. Being born of the Virgin Mary meant that Jesus could be born with no sin nature, and then He grew up experiencing and committing no sin ever in His life. This is intended for people who believe that Jesus was a sinless Savior. Consequently, what that means is we're saying, when I take the bread, I'm saying I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is holy, perfectly God, and yet also holy, perfectly human. So Jesus is different than you and me in that He is both human and divine. Nobody else is that. Jesus is the one and only one who has ever been the God-man, Son of God and Son of Man, wholly human and wholly divine. And by taking the bread, we're making the statement, I'm a believer that Jesus is the sinless one who could die on the Savior. So notice I've taken my piece of bread out of there and I won't put it back, so the germs that I have will not be passed to you. Are you good with that? And when we pass the cup, we are passing the cup that has this juice in it that is a symbol of the sacrificial life of Jesus poured out for us on the cross of Calvary, so that it's a symbol of His blood, His death, His life given for us. It's intended for us to think about not only our relationship with Jesus, and that's the key issue with the bread, our relationship, our fact that we're saying we are believers in him, we have salvation. When we take the cup, now we're talking about the fact that we are entering into a belief that says we believe that his death was for me. Okay? So here's the difference. He didn't just die as a martyr. He died as a martyr for me. When he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his sin. He was dying for whose sin? Okay, mine and yours. When I drink this cup, I'm saying I believe that his death could be for me. And that his sinless life and sacrificial death could do something for me. What? Give me eternal life. He earned the right to give me eternal life. Do I earn the right for eternal life? No, I'm not sinless. I didn't pay for my sin on the cross of Calvary. Only Jesus could do that for me. And this bread and this cup is a symbol of that. So it is for those who believe that. So here's what I'm saying. In taking the bread and the cup, you're making a statement. This table is the table of the Lord's. It reminds us of him. This do in remembrance of me. What am I declaring? What am I remembering? I'm declaring and remembering that I believe in the sinless Son of God who, as a substitute, took my place for my sin on the cross of Calvary. Only Jesus could do that for me. So all of this symbolizes his sinless life and sacrificial death. Again, this is intended for believers, not unbelievers. So as the plate passes, it's assumed in any gathering like this that there are some of you who are believers. I would urge you to participate. It's also assumed that some of you are not believers. I would urge you to not participate. Do not take the bread and do not take the cup. Pass it on. This is intended for those who are declaring this morning, I am a believer. And so, when I take the bread and the cup, I'm making a statement. I'm making a statement about my relationship to Jesus Christ. I am related to him because of what he's done for me on the cross. It's also intended not just for believers. It's intended for believers who are in right fellowship with him. So it's not for those believers who are currently involved in sin. So even though you are a Christian, even though you are a believer, I would urge you not to participate today if, as a believer, you're not in good fellowship with your Savior. If you're harboring and experiencing and indulging in current sin, please do not take the bread. Do not take the cup. Why? Because you bring further judgment upon yourself, this text says. So it has to do today with both relationship and fellowship. Do you see that both key issues are involved? So only Christians who are in right relationship should participate. Only Christians who are in right fellowship, who are currently having confessed their sin, having walking in good fellowship, should participate today. I have three children. Those three children are lifelong my kids, no matter what they do, good or bad. They are my kids. Nothing they can ever do to not be my kids. The relationship we have is secure. Just like the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is secure. When he saves us, we are eternally his, and we're secure in that. However, my kids could sometimes, when they were at home and under my roof, they could sometimes disobey me, and our daily fellowship could be hindered. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Anybody experience that sort of thing? We did in the Hickson household from time to time. There were times when our fellowship would be broken and would need to be restored. Both of those issues are at stake when we come to the Lord's table today, both relationship and fellowship. Let me try to illustrate it like this. Do you know what this is? This is a garbage can. Really. It happens to be my garbage can. I bought this garbage can when we still lived in Pennsylvania before we came to Ohio. And what that means is I've been putting my garbage in this garbage can for almost 30 years. Almost 30 years I've been putting my garbage in that garbage can. I actually have two of them just alike that I've had for 30 years putting my garbage in that garbage can. When we are believers, our sin is cleansed. The garbage of our life is cleansed away positionally. That's our standing. But here's what we know. As Christians, our relationship is secure, but our fellowship is sometimes dirtied with the garbage of our lives. We put the table scraps in the garbage, but we also have kind of life scraps in our lives that come along, even as believers, where we fail to walk worthy of the Lord on those daily issues. Sometimes we tell a lie. Sometimes we lose our temper and we, in anger, lash out. Sometimes we gossip. Sometimes we take part in gluttony. Sometimes we, and let's just go on with the list, you know, one thing after another after another. And that garbage needs to be taken away. Aren't you glad for garbage day? Aren't you glad? You know, we put our garbage in our garbage cans and somebody comes and hauls it away. And that's a refreshing smell to the neighborhood. Garbage day is such a nice day that things get kind of cleaned up. That's what this table is. When he says, let a person examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread in the cup. What's a Christian to do with the garbage in his life? What are you supposed to do with it? I'm glad for occasions like this that call us specifically. This is a daily exercise and discipline for all of us as Christians, but particularly when we come to the Lord's table. This is take the garbage out day. Right? And here's what's involved. It starts with evaluation. It starts with an honest look at the way my life is. It starts with evaluation. And I say, hey, wow, I'm noticing there's an odor to my life. Some garbage around here. Evaluation. And then what do? Confession. Because if we confess with our mouth, if we say, Lord, I agree with you, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that evaluation leads us to a confession of our sin, confession to the Lord. But then I need to take part. I haven't completely dealt with my sin yet unless there's also restitution. Let's just say I stole $100 from you. And I say, oh, wow, I'm realizing I just stole $100 from somebody. That's the evaluation. Wow, I was wrong. Lord, please forgive me. I've become a thief. My character, my actions, oh, Lord, please forgive me. What does the Bible say the Lord will do? He will forgive me when I confess my sin. But what's the next step I need to take? I need to give you your $100 back. Right? That's restitution. I haven't been cleansed of this sin completely and fully until I've done something to make right what I did wrong. Right? So I come to you and I say, hey, I'm the guy. I stole that $100 from you. Here's $125 because I took your $100 and here's $25 to show you, you know, I really meant it, you know. So here's my restitution. Now, there may also be some jail time that's involved in that, right? But I want it because I want to do what's right. I want to make it right. I haven't really taken the full steps until I've gone to restitution. Then restoration can take place. Our relationship is restored. You can begin to once again trust me with your leaving your wallet out and around. Because before, if I saw your wallet around, I was going to take your $100. Now you can trust. This is restoration of trust, relationship, and all the rest, and which leads to our celebration. Wow, we're buds. We're friends. We can trust each other. That's that fullness, and we have a sense of celebration with the Lord because he's transforming my life so that I'm trustworthy again. Now, that's an illustration that's easy to see the correlation. I steal $100, I restore $100. But what if it's gossip? What if I demean your character? How do I give that back to you? That's difficult. That's more difficult. And there's a lot of situations in life that are a little more complicated than just merely $100. There's a whole lot of things that this is a difficult process, but a necessary process, starting with evaluation, and this table calls us to evaluation, then confession, then restitution, ultimately restoration leading to celebration. And this table says, I've been involved in the complete process or I don't participate. That's what it says. I not only believe a certain way, I behave a certain way, and consequently, I take the bread and I take the cup. Okay? Prime Timers is our meeting on Thursday mornings, and it's a grand time together. I love being able to participate in that, and if you're a Prime Timer, we'd love for you to participate with us. Every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, David Willinger read this story that I'd like to share with you that highlights what we're talking about. He read the story Thursday at Prime Timers. A man was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman. I don't know why I paused on the woman part there, but let me just start over. A man was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman on a busy boulevard when suddenly the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing. He stopped, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. Well, the tailgating woman hit the roof and the horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After several hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects, and he said, "Oh, I am so sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and flipping off the guy in front of you and cursing a blue streak, and I noticed the Choose Life license plate and the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker and the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the truck, and naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." It's a little too much to laugh at, isn't it? This table calls us to examine, does my label match my living? Does my label match my living? Sometimes it doesn't. And that's when the table scraps of our lives begin to stink. And Jesus calls us at his table to let the garbage be taken out. And indeed, if we're not willing to deal with the stinky garbage of our lives, surely don't add to the judgment you're going to stand before the Lord by taking this. This is an exhortation to us to get this right. Are you willing today to get it right? To let our living match our label? Well, our mission as a church to exalt Christ in all things. We normally have this banner up in front of us on the front, but we had a beautiful wedding here yesterday, and we took the banner down. But I bring the banner to your attention because we say, as a church family, this is our vision. This is our mission as a church. We exist to exalt Christ, not ourselves, not some other deity or religion or something. We exist to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. And so we put it on a banner in front of us and we try to live it out, right? So this is our ambition as a church. We are exalting Christ in all that we do, including the fact that we're here today. We could be at home mowing our grass. We could be at home, doing the laundry. We could be at home doing other things. We've put Christ first, exalting Him today. And so our mission in life is to exalt Christ in all things. And we say we want to do that in four ways. I'm going to direct your attention to those four ways. I think you might know them. We exalt Christ by learning God's Word, right? Learning God's Word. So I've put in your hands this morning this booklet that says on it, Constitution and Bylaws of our Church. Part of our Constitution, if you open the first page or so, you'll see that under Article 3 is called Covenant and Articles of Faith and Belief. So when we get together on a Sunday morning, we're here to learn God's Word. And what we've done for you is to give you a resource in our church articles of faith. Here's a distillation of what the Bible teaches on all of these subjects. Here's what the Bible teaches concerning the Scriptures. Do you see that on page 3? The Scriptures. Then page 4, here's what the Bible teaches. We're sure what you should be learning about the true God, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As you turn page by page, here's what the Bible teaches about Satan, the devil. Here's what the Bible teaches about angels. Here's what we hope you're learning about creation and about man and about marriage and gender and sexuality. Here's what the Bible teaches about the sanctity of human life. Here's what we hope you're learning about sin and the fall of man. Here's what we hope you are learning about salvation and the church. Here's what you're learning about the future things and about the final authority for matters of faith and belief. This is a resource for you to help you learn what the Bible teaches and all of these important doctrines that we believe the Bible clearly extols. So we exalt Christ by taking His Word seriously and learning. And just here's a good review for you. We want you to know that that's a part of what we believe as a church family. And I think this is a good resource to help you learn God's Word. But it doesn't stop there. We're not content to just say, oh, look, I could pass a test on the doctrine of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a good starting place, but that's not where it ends. It goes from learning God's Word to what? Living godly lives. What I learn impacts how I live, right? So here's another resource we've given you to help examine how you're living. So we ask ourselves, and here's an evaluation of my life. Is there sin in my life? Am I doing something wrong? Well, this helps to measure your life against your label, right? So our membership covenant says this is what we aim to do as a person who is learning God's Word. Here's how I'm aiming to live my life. And so we've crafted a membership covenant that's essentially a distillation of principles of godly living straight from the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to read aloud with me from this page our membership covenant. And what it's supposed to be doing is helping me to evaluate as I come before the Lord in His table, am I coming in a worthy manner? Well, this will help us know. All right, so would you read it aloud with me, our membership covenant? Let's read together. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and have humbly received Him as our Lord and Savior. It has also been our privilege to publicly confess our faith in Christ by following Him in believers' baptism. We now joyfully covenant together by the power of the Holy Spirit as brothers and sisters in Christ to carry out these purposes and ambitions. We endeavor to please God in every thought, word, and deed, and to pursue a life of holiness, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We purpose to meet together regularly to worship our Lord, study His infallible word, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and celebrate the ordinances of baptism and communion as Jesus commanded. We will strive to love one another and pray for one another, remembering that we are called to exhort and admonish one another as occasion may require. You can turn the card over. We intend to carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ through our own witness and the support of missionaries throughout the world. To this end, we will cheerfully give generously of our resources as God has prospered for the ongoing work of the church and its worldwide outreach. We pledge to raise our children in the training and instruction of the Lord, submit to one another and to the leadership of the church, aid each other during times of sickness or distress, and promote the unity of the body of Christ. We purpose to honor the Lord by protecting our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit, avoiding every kind of evil, offering ourselves to Him as living sacrifices, and by being filled with the Spirit. Heavenly Father, grant us strength by Your Holy Spirit that we might fulfill this covenant and walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of a church family who many of you really do want to carry out these ambitions and purposes. Thank you for being brothers and sisters in Christ with me. Thank you that we can depend on each other to do what we've just said is our goal, our ambition. But here's what I know. Do we carry this out perfectly? No. And I'm not saying that you have to declare that you are doing it perfectly in order to take from this table today, but it does mean that these are our sincere ambitions and goals. And where we find ourselves falling short, we address them. So here's what I would ask you to do. Look at this outline of goals and maybe even circle on this card, on this paper, where you think you need the most work, because all of us need work on these lofty goals. There's not one of us as Christians in this room today that does this perfectly. And we must all say in evaluation of our lives, wow, this is this paragraph here, woo-wee, that needs my attention. Would you do that? Learning God's word and learning to live a godly life takes practice and discipline and just lifelong ambition toward it. And then it leads to loving God's people. You ought to have, by learning God's word and living a godly life, a real love one for another, because the word of God says to His disciples, they will know you are Christians by your love one for another. In other words, you are supposed to have a special kind of love and bond with your brothers and sisters in Christ that you don't have with other people. Now, you don't get to choose who is a Christian. So there may well be Christians that you don't particularly like that you're supposed to love, right? They may be in this room. People you don't particularly like, but intend to love. You know, what I'm saying by that is, okay, we may not all be best friends, just naturally attracted to one another and that kind of thing, but we do have a bond together that caused me to love you sacrificially, whether I like you or not, which ultimately ends up me liking you. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ with beliefs that lead to behaviors that lead us to love one another and sacrifice one for another. Why? So that the world sees brothers and sisters in Christ who love one another, not because they're naturally drawn to each other, but because they are supernaturally given love for each other because of the bond of belief and the foundation of belief that they share, causing us to love one another, which then leads to leading others to Christ. Yesterday, at the back-to-school rally downtown Sandusky, we as a church collected things to give away that were put in backpacks for kids getting ready to go to school and those kinds of things, and all of the various social services and various other kinds of ministries and all around our region here gathered together to say to our community, we want to help get kids ready to go to school, and if it means helping you to have a backpack stuffed with stuff and all that we collected over the last year, to say to our community, you know, we were a part of trying to say to them, and as we had a booth out there to say, look, you're getting some, you know, paper and pencils and supplies and this, that, and the other, and you can go and see if you, you know, over there and that, there's a dental check to see if you need cavities filled or, you know, all kind of things happening all around. But we had our booth there to say, and what you also need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Good to have a backpack, good to get your cavities filled, but let us talk about how Jesus can wash away your sin, right? Because we want to lead others to Christ. This coming week, there'll be opportunities to participate in other things. There's always event community. What was it? A week ago, community day, free meal, bouncy houses, all kind of stuff there, classic car show. Why? Because we want our community to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's the one and only Savior of the world. Why do we do these kind of things? We want to lead others to know what we've discovered, that Jesus is the Savior, and that there is no other Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. By taking the bread and the cup today, we're saying that Jesus is the one and only Savior of the world, and we want the whole world to know that truth. And so today we are remembering our Redeemer, remembering him. This do in remembrance of me. Those individuals who got in airplanes and flew them into the World Trade Centers and flew them into the Pentagon and attacked our nation as an act of war on 9/11 could have, stood before a monument, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial. They may have, in the days leading up, they may have visited a monument and stood there and thought about America just before committing an act of war against America. Simply coming to church, simply taking part in a ceremony doesn't mean that it is in your heart yet. Remembering must prompt our responding to the truth of this. I'm not calling you merely to a ceremony. I'm not calling you just formalism and liturgy. I'm asking you, by remembering, are you responding to Jesus? I'm asking you to confess your sin to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what this table symbolizes. And then having received eternal life and been cleansed of our sin and having our sin washed away, then dealing with the daily garbage of our lives and coming in a worthy manner before the Lord. That's what this table is. That's what it means to properly remember our Redeemer. And I would call you to that today. Lord, I pray that as we do so, as we take the bread and the cup, call us to yourself to properly and sincerely remember you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together as we gather this song that brings us to the table. And as we do so, I ask our pastors and deacons to come.